It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures up here as the Dow tries for its longest win streak in over a year. Some goodwill gestures on trade from both China and the U.S. Draghi launches open-ended QE, to which the president says the Fed must cut, despite the biggest jump in core CPI in a decade today. Jobless claims lowest since April. Our roadmap begins with a tariff pause. The president agreeing to a two-week delay as a gesture of goodwill. Stocks point to a higher open.
Plus Eurozone stimulus, the ECB launching a new bond buying program. Could it impact Fed decision making in the next week?
And as the Democrats get set to debate tonight, Elizabeth Warren, who has been closely watching this program, proposing a sweeping increase in Social Security benefits financed by taxes on wealth. The president delaying the imposition of some new China tariffs as a goodwill gesture. Additionally, China officials say that Chinese companies have started inquiring about prices for purchases of U.S. ag. All of this coming ahead of planned meetings between the U.S. and China in early October. Earlier on Squawk, the Treasury Secretary described the state of trade between those two countries.
We've had a series of principal-level conversations. We have a deputies meeting planned in the next 2 weeks, where the Chinese will be coming here and they'll be working on material in advance of the vice premier coming here at the beginning of October to meet with Ambassador Lighthizer and myself. So we look forward to hopefully making progress over the next few weeks.
All right. Said tariffs could go up. They could go down. Yeah. Said he's looking at the 50-year bond potentially next year.
Right. I mean, look, the president is really banking on not just a very big ag purchase, but more than that. Chinese this morning telling the Journal, look, they want to limit this to just trade. Good luck. I mean, that's not the ethos of our country right now. It really, the Chinese are so misjudging the president. The president's much harder line than they realize. Just not going to buy, not going to cave because they order a lot of soy or order a lot of pork, particularly because they haven't been able to get this swine flu under control.
Although he does seem focused on it every time that there is the potential for,
well, because they,
a purchase, he likes to tweet about it, talk about the farmers, it's coming. I mean,
yep.
And when it didn't, he seemed to get very upset about
it
as well.
He set the bar again today, which basically just says, look, you know, if you don't come through, we are going right up there and more. Remember, this last round of tariffs, the 125 to 30, that was that fabled Friday where he was really angry and he tweeted.
Well, it was angry in part because the Chinese put new tariffs on some imports from the U.S.
And he didn't expect
and
that.
They did not follow through at all. But that actually was a while on agricultural purchases promised.
I'm thinking that Secretary Mnuchin represents one side of the White House. The other side of the White House wants to know, look, when are you going to stop sending the fentanyl? When are you going to stop secrets? When are you going to stop with the Huawei?
So it all comes down to your belief that he's the dove and that Navarro's the hawk and the president
the hawk
sides
eats
with Navarro.
The hawk eats the dove in the end.
Well, Mnuchin did say that Hong Kong would not be part of the discussion, but your point is Huawei needs to be? Is that it? Is that
I mean, look, the people who are, not, just because Bolton's gone doesn't mean that there aren't hardliners. The hardliners very specifically are saying you can't de-link foreign policy, military issues from trade. You just can't. That's a pipe dream of the Chinese. And the Chinese always, and this is one of my big problems with mainstream media, the Chinese are always regarded at face value and our president's regarded as mercurial. I think the Chinese are always trying to get away with as much as they can. The president's actually more consistent than people realize. So I just think that the bar is high again. If the Chinese do not come through in the next, by October 1, I think that you're going to see he's going to put those tariffs on, and he may even do it during that grace period.
I mean, yesterday, despite the talk about ag, the reports yesterday, they're also sourcing from Argentina for the first time in 20 years at scale. So we're not the only game in town.
No, but this swine flu is continually underestimated. And I say that because I know the guys at Zoetis that are trying so hard to solve it, and they can't. This is a crisis of huge proportions in China. Huge eaters of pork.
So they need our pork.
They need our pork. So if they don't start ordering our pork, then we know that they really are. I mean,
you don't seem particularly positive.
No, I'm not.
On the prospects for the next round of talks.
No.
Not that many people expect that it's going to lead to some sort of immediate deal, but you don't even seem positive that it's going to make a lot of progress.
Look, this is, it's not even accept but verify. It's just literally you know, you guys have just dropped the ball, the Chinese. And I don't think there's anything going on. And I say that by the fact that this so-called reprieve, the futures jumped really big last night, and then they pulled back entirely. So, no, I just think it's the Chinese better do something, and do something fast, and not just pork.
Well, you saw the journal story about them wanting to separate sort of
trade
from other issues, including Huawei or Hong Kong national security.
I mean, Peter Navarro will come on our network, and he will say, look, the centrality is the seven sins. Remember, he's got these seven sins of what they do?
Yes, I heard him the other day talking about them, on Squawk.
That's the president's view. That's the president's view, Navarro's view. The president's view is not Mnuchin's view. Mnuchin's got his own view. He's his own man. I think that's terrific. The Treasury Secretary is his own man. But I really feel that the president thinks that these issues are one and the same. And the Chinese continue to think that we're such a bunch of idiots, boneheads even, that we will do anything for the farmers because there's an election year. I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about Senator Warren. Senator Warren's comments are not, I don't hear her trying to save the family farmer. She's trying to tax people who I think have room to be taxed. I said it.
You're saying that the farmers are a subset of the wealthy?
The farmers are voting for Trump no matter what. So it doesn't matter whether the president's not sitting there thinking, well, I need them to put a soy order through to win Iowa. The president's going to win Iowa. It's base. The base. Trouble versus base.
Okay. There she is, Elizabeth Warren.
It was funny.
Talking about her new plan to increase Social Security benefits by, I think, $200.
She's using the realistic wealth for people in the country, except for if you live in New York City.
$200 a month, right. And then with a 14.8% levy on incomes above $250,000 or $400,000 for a couple, an investment income, and then also another, she would increase the cap. So right now your Social Security tax, your pay is capped at $250,000, what you're paying into Social Security.
Right.
That would go up. Also become 14.8%, half paid by the employer, half paid by the employee. If you're living in a high tax state or city where you already are no longer able to deduct your state and local income taxes, and this tax burden were to be added, I'm not sure what your actual take home would be, but it would be a lot less.
You're going to have to move to Tennessee, is my suggestion, or Florida, because this is going to probably put me. I'm going to be soon at the 60% tax level, which means I start making money for myself about this week in the year. But you know what? I do well, so I don't even care. If she wants to, I don't want the way that we are busting the budget. It is pretty funny, isn't it, that the Democrats are far more conscious of the budget than the Republicans. Yeah.
Well, you've survived the salt limit. People are moving to Florida out of high tax states already, so maybe you can survive more.
Yeah, I can survive.
When you
say on this network that you think it's okay to pay more tax, there are people who are angry at you. But I am very lucky. I've done very well. I'll pay more tax. I've done well.
You're over 50% of your
income. I've done well.
Taxes, 50. I don't know where it is.
There are other people.
We know where marginal rates have been historically, right? Yeah. I mean, 70, 80%.
Yeah. Johnny, there were so many loopholes back then.
No, but Johnny paid what, 70? Johnny paid 70. Do you know when you say Johnny, do you know who that is?
Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Carson. Oh. Jesus. His pop culture knowledge is weaker than my friend Aaron Burnett's, who does have good pop culture knowledge. Look, I think that Warren versus Trump is just the dialogue now. And there's a debate.
She's behind Biden in the polls.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why.
Tonight. There's a guy named Biden who's still well ahead of her in the polls.
Is that?
Yeah. True.
Is it, man?
Yeah. Not kidding.
Warren is, I don't know. Warren is front and center in all the issues that we talk about.
She retweeted us for a second straight day. I think the lead of Drudge all morning long, all overnight, was Wall Street, she must be stopped. I said the words you delivered on this show at the beginning of the week.
That's what they say to me over and over again. I mean, they don't even want her to. There are people who say, how can you put her on? How can you put her? As if she's some sort of pariah. She's a senator of the United States of America.
She's a very serious, rigorous person.
You bet she is.
And
smart as a whip.
And somewhat relentless.
One day I'll tell you about how I met her.
Strong characteristic for people who achieve things.
And you will say she is rigorous. She tweets and then sends you to position papers.
Yes.
She does not tweet. She's not calling anyone a bonehead.
Despite the fact that you brought this line to the conversation that we're looking at right here, you have a soft spot for her, it seems.
Yes.
Because?
because I think that she has thought about the people who are doing not well in the country, and that that is great.
Would you, can you say yet, would you vote for her?
I don't talk about who I vote.
Right.
I don't talk about who I vote. Yeah. I've been pretty split in whom I vote over time, if you want to look at my record. Actually, right down the middle. Sorry. Well,
it's certainly become a big part of the conversation now.
She is, and it will, it will even more so again if in fact she becomes a front runner or
becomes
continues to pick momentum up. But I think it will play into this larger conversation that we're going to have here that really is ongoing about the changing face of capitalism.
Yes.
And it goes back to the Business Roundtable, which
Trailblazer
people,
by Benioff.
Again, we've talked.
Yes.
Right. And also even the rise of ESG as a real focus for investors. And it's real, I think.
Right.
What is the role of the corporation in society? What responsibilities does it have beyond just
this letter
shareholder value?
From
and
CEOs?
She certainly is at the forefront of asking those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
This letter from CEOs on gun control?
I know that everyone's getting
Sorkin has in the Times today.
I am. It's good. Look, wealth tax on $50 million. Do you think the people who make $50 million will get hurt by a wealth tax on assets of $50 million?
I think it's 2% above 50,
that's
right?
Fine.
So every, I got no problem with
those
that.
Those people do great.
Maybe you do, but I don't.
Those people do great.
When I get there, which I
they
never will.
They can afford it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they can.
I thought this Social
I don't feel like they can afford it.
I you know, you guys didn't think the Social Security benefits thing isn't good? Hey, you know what? She came on Mad Money, and she revealed a series of things. And she said, what do you think of them? And I said, I don't know, they seem reasonable. She goes, it's exactly what Reagan wanted.
14.8% on investment income if you earn more than
$400,000. Why not? You don't do anything.
Restaurants and hotels exempt? Is that what's going on?
I don't give a darn. Look, the investment income means you don't do anything. Why is investment income taxed lower than the hardworking people who do ordinary
some
income?
Some would say that that is one of the reasons why there has been such a divergence in income inequality, in part because of capital gains taxes and things like that. Alternatively, you've got a president who's not talking about indexing them to capital gains to inflation.
Although not anymore, yes.
Talks about it being
maybe
elitist,
they're closer. Maybe
but
the
then yesterday it came back out, so I'm confused as to
right. Nancy Pelosi is right down the middle. I remember when she was a bomb thrower. She's now the most consensual Tip O'Neill-like person in the House, in the country. In the country. No single payer for her. CVS stock up today on Deutsche Bank upgrade. Why? No single payer.
Larry Merlot.
Yes.
Got it.
Merlot.
Back to stocks. Good.
A fine Merlot, yeah.
I know you're a Cabernet guy. We have to talk about Warren only because that's what everybody talks about. When I speak to CEOs, after the camera's done, they say, hey, listen, what are you hearing about Warren?
I get it,
what's
too.
The story
I've said, we've said the same thing. I hear
it's true. Yeah. They all want to know Warren. They don't say, what are you hearing about Biden?
Nope.
No, that matters. She's part of the discussion.
Yep. By the way, this conversation right here is now a podcast. You can listen to us at the opening bell hour of Squawk on the Street at cnbc.com/podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're going to get Stop Trading with Jim in a moment. Don't go away. We're going to do the Mad Dash now.
Yeah.
Jim, are you ready? Could we do this now?
Of course I can do it now. Are you kidding me? We're going to do it.
No,
we'll do it after the break.
Stop Trading still at the end.
There's a look at futures.
Ready. I was going to do work.
We're back in a minute.
We got 13 minutes before we get started trading here on a Thursday at the New York Stock Exchange. Let's get back to stocks a bit.
Right.
Oracle reported earnings. Also some news about CEO Mark Hurd. What's your take,
Well,
Jim?
First, Oracle, people always, the analyst community is always biased against a company that's that gap non-gap 13-14%, buys back a lot of stock, clean balance sheet up a little bit. I thought the quarter was fine. I mean, that is the problem with this company. The quarter's fine. They always find something to pick on this time. Deferred revenue not that good. By the way, Ellison was back on the call. We're going to talk about that in a sec. Talking about a big win versus Workday on McDonald's. That was really what I thought was the major takeaway.
Yes, that was one of the headlines.
That was a huge takeaway. But here's the problem. Mark Hurd is the aggressive, not just front man, but the guy who drives sales. I mean, we're not sure about what's the matter with Mark. Got to wish him well, obviously.
Taking a leave of absence for medical reasons.
And the stock should get hit on that. Because if Mark doesn't come back, but I respect Mark tremendously because he is a competitor.
Right. He's kind of the outside now. Safra Katz is also CEO of this company.
She's brilliant.
Has been there for quite some time.
Yeah, like
Mr. Ellison is the chairman.
He is brilliant. Jeez.
Yeah. But they've had an unusual organization. With these co-CEOs. They don't even call them that, but co-CEOs.
Right. And I just think that Hurd is the public face of the company, not Ellison, not Safra Katz. And I don't know. I mean, I think he's one of the reasons why they have a lot of big wins. Larry Ellison is an amazing person.
And for the quarter itself, any tells in terms of spending?
No. Exactly. I mean, you can't get a read. It's like IBM. I mean, there's these companies that people just don't talk about. Intel just went from 48 to 53. People don't talk about these companies. Cisco reported a not-so-great quarter stock. Nobody cares. They care, David, about Zendesk and Zscaler. They care, David, about CrowdStrike. David, it's an Okta market. It's incredible what people care about now. They care about cloud. And Ellison has always tried to inject himself saying, listen, we've got a great cloud business. It's getting better and better. The margins are good. The hardware business is coming back down. But I demand respect for Ellison. When you go out to Silicon Valley, there isn't a person that doesn't think Ellison's a genius. And Ellison's back in his mid-70s, and he's 40. He's 40 as far as I'm concerned. But
well,
Mark
70
Hurd,
is the new
we wish
40.
You well. We wish you well.
That's what at least we're hoping, and we do.
If you ever say something bad about Oracle, Hurd hears it.
Yeah.
And he's in your face instantly.
Oh, yeah. No, he's an aggressive gentleman.
Yeah. I like that.
Let's get into break here, of course, as we count you down to an opening bell. We also do have an IPO this morning we are going to keep a close eye on. Smile Direct. Looks like it's going to be up.
Selfie generation,
yeah,
David.
13 times oversubscribed. That's not necessarily meaning that it's going to be up sharply, but it does appear to be well positioned to go above where it priced.
See, dentists hate it.
Yeah, I can imagine why.
They hate it.
Yeah. Everything comes in a box. We got a lot more Squawk on the Street for you live post night.
Smile Direct Club getting ready to ring the opening bell at the NASDAQ. Company celebrating its IPO. Prices at 23 above the range. We'll get an interview with top executives later on this morning. Keep it right here. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in just under 4 minutes. Man, there's a lot to cover today. There's the China-U.S. Moves, these goodwill gestures. We talked about Draghi, the president's reaction to that, Jim, obviously, arguing that the Fed didn't say bonehead today, I don't think,
right.
But he did say Fed needs to cut.
I think the Europeans should be careful. The president is no fan of Merkel. The president is no fan of the way that the Europeans have handled their auto tariffs. And they could be next. If they continue to make it so that the euro is being debased, they ought to be very careful. I think the president's itching to do something against them. He does not feel the old let's line up with the EU.
You've been saying that for a while.
Oh, no, he's very upset. He's very upset with the Germans. So I think that they're playing with fire if they continue to go down this path. I don't think he'll call Draghi a bonehead because he wants our Fed chief to do exactly what Draghi's doing, to stay in step. The problem is they have no growth whatsoever, so they got to do something. We have some growth. So I think that when we hear all these discussions about where our rates are going down, too, remember that when Draghi's trying to debase the euro with hopefully that business gets better. I don't know it. That business is so linked to China. Europe is so linked to China. And that's one of the reasons why you never hear them doing anything. I think a big test case, by the way, it's more London. London Stock Exchange being bought by Hong Kong. That's the communist Chinese buying London Stock Exchange. London Stock Exchange rejected it. But will the London Stock Exchange be willing to be bought by communist Chinese? Interesting question.
It's a question. Listen, the deal is not viewed as necessarily very likely. Given the unsolicited nature of it, London Stock Exchange wants to complete its deal to acquire Refinitiv, become more of a data provider.
Yes.
But it's interesting.
Oh,
and it's the last chance to buy the LSE if you can get them before they do and break the Refinitiv deal and consolidate exchanges.
A lot of people feel, I was in Italy recently, and you go by, you see Belt and Road, which is their strategy of foreign aid. You see, there's signs everywhere. Belt and Road. in English, right in our faces, depending upon whether we're there. But I just think that you've got to recognize that the Chinese are so close to Europe versus us. We are not part of the equation when it comes to Europe, because we are not pro-Europe.
Well, the reaction to Draghi, at least, was brief. I think the entire German curve back in negative territory. Let's get to Steve Leisman, talk more about what Draghi said today. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Yeah, he just said negative rates are a necessity, Mario Draghi just said at his press conference. And he went more into the necessity range there. They cut rates, their benchmark rate, by another 10 basis points to negative 0.5. They added 20 billion euros of quantitative easing on top of that. He said the easing is a response to low inflation and a weaker economy. He said we see persistence of downside risks and muted inflationary pressures as well. They downgraded the inflation outlook. They downgraded the growth outlook out there. These are things not necessarily happening here. He was asked about the president's tweet, which you guys were just talking about. Let me play for you what he said.
The answer is very simple. We have a mandate. We pursue price stability, and we don't target exchange rates, period.
Carl, I don't want to make Jimmy angry over there, but there are some people who say if Draghi is not targeting the exchange rate, then what does he plan to have happen as a result of more negative interest rates other than the currency weaken? Carl?
So what happens now? We declare them a manipulator, Jim?
Look, it has to do with tariffs. Hey, you know, look, it, part of the conversation, you're talking about China with the White House. What are they saying? Hey, don't forget the Germans. Don't forget the Germans. Don't forget BMW. Don't forget Volkswagen. I didn't even bring them up. So just be aware, Draghi, thin ice. Thin ice, Draghi.
Well, he's done anyway.
That's true, yeah.
That's Lagarde's problem now. Steve, thanks. Talk to you in a little while. Steve Leisman, let's get to the opening bell here. S&P 500 at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. And the big board, it's Wisdom Tree, celebrating its Women's Initiative Network at the NASDAQ. As we said earlier, Smile Direct Club, a direct-to-consumer medical technology company for straightening your teeth, celebrating its IPO today. Original range was 19 to 22. Projected, coming in at 23.
This is incredible because this is a company that is valued gigantically. Remember, it's going up against Invisalign, which stock has been coming down. This is a way to do it at home. I mean, this is part of the subscription economy, basically. And everybody who's had kids that have been using Invisalign, the kids are happy, obviously. They tend to be Instagramaholics. But this is a way that is very disruptive to the industry. I know that there are orthodontists right now who are emailing me saying, listen, it shouldn't even be allowed. It's not vaping, but they say it shouldn't be allowed.
It is, right. It's kind of do-it-yourself. I mean, they take pictures, they make the molds, and then you have a box that spits out every week or whatever it is, a new one.
New form of healthcare.
As you address the gaps in your teeth or whatever it might be.
I think it's an original company, but what worries me is why is the market going nuts for this? I mean, is it because we don't want WeWork? I mean, it's a revulsion? Why do they...
I mean, is it a stretch to put it in your Ulta Estee Lauder selfie category or not?
No, it's not a stretch. Yeah. And it's actually people from that industry that told me about this. That was where I first heard it. And I think that the millennials love straight teeth. Gen X, big teeth straightener. Hey, by the way, when you go to Europe, they can use this. United Kingdom, holy cow! Ain't
really,
they ever?
Really? I'm going to send UK teeth jokes.
I'm going to donate 100,000 subs. Ain't they ever heard of orthodontists?
They're not. It's no longer Austin Powers. Come on.
No, I just. It's really. It's vital. Smile Direct UK would be just a killer. Well, I'm sure they're over there.
By the way, well, moving on to IPOs that are to come, this will set a tone, and if it's a positive one, it can only help. Even the wee company.
Yes.
As it gets ready to begin.
David.
What?
You're taking that leap of faith.
I'm just saying. They're getting ready. They're getting ready to start things out on Monday.
Great.
For the
top
show.
Of the market.
I'm telling you.
Top of the world, Ma.
Well, not necessarily. I can see you. I can see you actually getting warmer to it at like 15, 16 billion.
Well, they do that. Where would that be for
And when Adam Newman gets a hold of you and does the mind meld on you.
think Newman.
You're then going to be like, I have a soft spot for Newman. Company.
I have a small soft spot for Newman. He's an entertaining guy. Yeah, I guess so.
We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting.
You know, it's interesting.
Last time I saw, 2 weeks from today, maybe.
Right, but last time I saw Newman, I was with David Blaine.
Oh, that was the dough that you've talked about.
Yeah,
that
two
Blaine
magicians. Joke, yeah. Two magicians. Right? One guy's able to get $40 billion, and the other guy's able to put a card in your mouth and know what it is.
You're able to levitate.
No.
How is that possible? I don't know.
When I see Blaine, I always say the same thing, which is that there's everybody except for Oz. Oz is real, too. Oz and Blaine are not of this world. They actually are science fiction. And I said that to Blaine. Blaine says, you believe in me more than I believe in me. I said, absolutely. Blaine's incredible. He's not of this world. Nor is Newman.
Newman isn't this world. Yes, I promise.
Jim, we haven't talked a whole lot about CPI today, but core CPI year on year, 2.4, is the biggest jump in 11 years. We were looking for 2.3. There's a Fed meeting next week in which people are looking for a cut. Jobless claims today, lowest since April. What in the world is Jay Powell going to do?
Well, I think that, boy, is he in a hard spot here. He was doing great when we had that last employment number, which was weaker. He does want a little bit of inflation, so let's not rule that out. I think that Powell is capable of saying, let's wait, which would be devastating to the stock market.
No cut. You think a no cut next week is possible?
I think that when you call, honest to God, you call the guy a bonehead and he cuts? I mean, well, what if, that's just a license to call the guy Sparky.
Well, call him double bonehead, then you get 50 basis points. Right?
You can't. You're the Fed chief. You've got these data. You are insulted daily on Twitter. You had a reputation beforehand of being a serious individual. Do you just say, hey, listen, you called me a bonehead. I've got red-hot employment. I've got higher CPI. And I'm going to just accede to his boneheadedness, even though I am a believer in rate cuts, because I think our rates are – he took rates too high. That's what the president's view is, not what the numbers are right now. It's just that the rate should have never been too high versus the rest of the world. I think the president's right. I think the president's right on that.
If that's true, where's the bleed through from those hikes of the last couple of years? Wow. I mean, stocks are at a record. Jobless claims are rock bottom. The labor market's tight as a drum. CPI is warming up.
People feel manufacturing.
That's trade, isn't it?
I mean, because if he wants to win the trade war, he needs the Fed on his side. Remember, he believes in central planning. He says the communist Chinese have central planning. We should have central planning. It's all for one and one for all. And he's got a bonehead at the Fed who's trying to exercise independence. And that is where he's coming from. Is that he does not want the Chinese to win because the bonehead Fed chief is saying, hey, listen, I know I raised it too much, but you know what? The heck with you.
Last I heard, we were not a centrally planned economy.
Well, the president wants a little central planning. I think he's a little jealous of Xi.
Maybe true.
Oh, come on. You know it's true.
Except that, I mean, you bring on Larry Kudlow or any of these other people, and they're not going to ascribe to your viewpoint of central planning.
The president.
Well, you're right about one thing. If we don't get a 25 next week, there's going to be some pain.
Yes, there will be. We have two central planners. We've got the president's central plan saying we've got to beat the Chinese. And then we have Senator Warren's central plan saying that the rich people are paying too little. They're both central planners.
It's true. They also both come back, to the responsibility of the corporation and what it is. By the way,
you can make an
argument that Trump also is, in a way, part of that debate by saying, hey, your responsibility is to hire workers in the United States.
Believe it or not.
You're not actually doing. Your margins do get squeezed a little bit, but you're helping overall.
They have more in common with each other than they do with Nancy Pelosi.
Which is crazy.
Isn't it crazy? So, we're in a crazy time.
Well, that goes to reflect the craziness of our political climate right now, I think, in some
ways. I have Everlane on tonight, which is a private company. I love their clothes. I'm trying to look a little more youthful. And what goes on with them is it's all sustainability. Sustainability leads to sustainable profits.
I don't know if that's youthful, but
this is
nice.
Okay.
No, it's beautiful.
This is a super 210. This is 210 count.
Oh, look.
You do not get.
Also, it actually fits you almost,
When I was in Milan, I had it tailored. I had it tailored perfectly. I just wanted one suit, a 210 suit. David, do you know your house, your apartment?
Excuse me?
Your apartment.
Yes, what about it?
This is an apartment, David. It's an apartment. And you think Senator Warren shouldn't tax more? I'm wearing an apartment.
I'm taking 14.8% of that suit.
You wouldn't take
right
count,
now.
David. This is like seven times the count of that Kmart suit that you're wearing.
Cut out 14.8%.
I didn't know Kmart still made suits. I didn't know Kmart was still in business.
GE guys wanted to
mention
briefly.
Is that part of
briefly,
the Lampert collection?
Oh, that is. This is a nice suit, I think. GE guys, not doing anything today, but worth mentioning, they're tendering for $5 billion worth of their bonds. $2.5 billion U.S. dollar aggregate purchase price of four GE company bonds and $2.5 billion U.S. dollar worth aggregate purchase of six euro-denominated GE company bonds. All of this, of course, part of the company's attempts to delever, particularly its industrial leverage target of less than 2.5 times net debt over EBITDA. Remember, they've taken in some proceeds, Baker Hughes, Wabtec as well, the sales there, and now they're making this tender for up to $5 billion of GE bonds.
Right?
Kind of positive.
They got
yeah
the money from Baker Hughes they are putting it right. Yeah, I mean, it is positive. It's delevering
right
is positive for a company that has that kind of leverage.
Delevering.
I mean, a lot of people feel that Oracle should be delevering faster.
Oracle is down over 4%.
Mark Hurd is really important to that company.
Yeah.
He wins a lot of business head-to-head. Oh, by the way, earlier I misspoke that the people in the U.K. are able to get Smile Direct, and they should get scholarships, and they should get some sort of subsidy, because they need it more than Americans.
Wow. Jesus, Jim.
What?
You have no plans to visit London anytime soon.
Or love London. You think that they'll... Really?
That'll... I mean, you're going with the oldest joke in the book there, my friend.
Well, other...
Are we taking this to the Catskills? Where are you headed?
Yeah. I'm going to fly over to London. Boy, my arms are tired. Look, it is James Bond had great teeth.
That's true. He certainly did. Jim, we haven't talked a lot about this momentum shift this week. JPM has a note today arguing that it's been largely technical so far, but it could be followed by an upturn, as they say, in the business profit cycle reminiscent of 2016. Boys, are you in this camp?
Yes, I am. I am. And there's a very important downgrade today. We got a real battleground. I want you to watch Caterpillar and Deere, because they got downgraded by Wells. A guy who does a lot of work, a very good, solid work when it comes to how companies are doing. If those stocks go down today and stay down, then people who are buying these stocks are going to get hurt when they have the earnings. Steve Tusin, by the way, with a negative note on 3M. And look at 3M run. Isn't that something?
What does that mean?
I think that Tusin's is too negative on the stocks, even though he's correct on some of the facts. He's got to get more on the stock pick. GE's moving up. 3M's moving up. It's not too late for him to declare victory.
No.
He hates it when I say that.
Most of the big tech is up this morning. Amazon up over 1%.
Fang?
Alphabet.
Fang?
Fang is up.
David,
Netflix. Yeah.
Apple doesn't stop, does it?
No.
And a lot of that Apple, David, is the belief that the Apple Plus is going to have some great entertainment.
You're just baiting David now.
Okay. You say so.
They can afford it.
They can.
Yeah, they can.
They can afford it. And over time, I would assume they will spend more and more and get deeper and deeper in and probably have a platform that actually offers you a variety of different content.
It's going to be amazing. They know customers better than anyone. I know we got to go to Bob Pisani.
Really quick, Walmart's near a record high.
And
we should mention this
right
new
face.
Unlimited
right
grocery delivery.
Take that, Kroger.
$98 a year.
I want that.
You
want to let the guy in. Remember, this is the Lord plan. You let the guy in and have to stock your refrigerator. I would like that. I would like that service.
Take a look at that, 25%.
Dave, you don't have to go out at all. I come right to your refrigerator. You'll never have to leave your apartment, which is worth less than this suit.
Right. Thank you for reminding me of that again.
No, it's because the suit's expensive, not because your apartment is undervalued. You know,
I'm a bit happy there.
I live in this. You live in
nice.
That? I live in this. You live in that?
You do. You actually do live in it. Never takes his tie off. Never takes his suit
never.
Off.
I got my reunion this weekend. I don't know what to do.
Whenever you
went to Everland.
And whatever you imagine him listening to a conference call, reading a conference call, watching one of those binge TV shows, he's always wearing that suit and tie.
Absolutely. Just he's more comfortable in pajamas. I don't trade.
Wherever restaurant he's at any moment in time,
absolutely,
he's always wearing that suit
yes.
and tie.
Totally true.
It's true.
We did hit 3,010. Let's get to Bob Pisani, Bob.
Yeah, and we're up and we're very near new highs. But the question is how much more life is left into this rotation rally that we've been talking about. So remember what the rotation has been. It's going on for a week now, and it's basically longer cyclical stocks. So retailers had a great week, 5 days, up 7%. Banks have got a great time, up 6%. Energy's had a great time. Industrials up 3 or 4%. Can it continue? Well, let's look at what's leading and lagging today, in fact. So we talked about retail banks, energy. Guess what's lagging? Retail banks and energy. Huh. This tells you we're running out of steam a little bit here. Industrials on the flat side. Again, this has been the sort of leadership group in the last 5 days. So where are we? Let's look at the checklist where we're at. And why did this happen anyhow? Why are we getting this rotation to begin with? We've had trade talk momentum. We've had aggressive central bank action. We've had some decent economic or expectations of aggressive central bank action with some decent economic data. And basically, the concerns about recessions have receded a little bit. They could come back, of course. But what does that all mean? What is this all led to? Well, number one, we've seen bond yields lifting. That's probably the most important thing. That happened beginning last Thursday. We saw a lot of crowded trades unwinding. What's that? Well, remember, let's go long defensive names. Let's go long consumer staples and utilities and REITs. And then let's short big cyclicals, the retailers, the industrial names, the banks. That crowded trade has unwound. That is certainly very healthy for the market to be a little more balanced. And we've seen good internals. We've seen low volatility. VIX is at 15. High pessimism still. I think that'll reverse. And we're right near highs. This is a very good overall scenario for the market. I think here's the problem. Look at the S&P 500. We're, what, 0.5%? from a new high for the S&P. And now we're back to that old argument. It's really pricey. 17.1 times forward earnings right now. And that's the way the market looks. What's the multiple for the market right now? And to get this, to keep this up there, you can't just have crowded trades unwinding. You can't have a bunch of short covering. That's going to run out of steam. It may already be running out of steam today. You need to see some real improvement in the economic activity. That's why I'm very heartened by the recent U.S. economic data. I think it's still pretty good. Mr. Draghi didn't particularly help us in Europe over there. It was a rather dour view of the European economy. But again, they're going to be stimulating. So you're going to need to keep at least some decent economic data to see this going. Let me just move on, talk about the IPOs, because I know we're going to have the head of Smile Direct on. We have been upsizing these IPOs recently. I just wanted to briefly talk about Caterpillar, because Jim is right. The biggest call of the day is the Wells Fargo call on Caterpillar. And here you see, this is all about trade talk on Caterpillar. Up, down on trade talk. And that call by Wells Fargo saying, okay, we've gone far enough here, and we've talked about what's going on around demand likely to decrease off of peak conditions in the United States. That's an important call, and that's a fundamental call, not just on the trade talk. So Jim's right. I think that's the most important call of the day. Just on the IPOs, three upsize IPOs this week. So you know about Smile Direct will be opening very shortly. But look at this, 19 to 22 here. It's pricing at 23, upsized there. How about all this talk about some of the big ones that are out there? 10X genomics, gene sequencing. Look at this, 31 to 35 a few days ago. It's pricing at 39 on the NASDAQ today. Finally, just tomorrow, we've got Cloudflare. That'll be here at the New York Stock Exchange. This was 10 to 12. It's now 12 to 14 is the price talk. I haven't got a final price on that. The point here is, Carl, IPO business is still very hot. Back to you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob Pisani. In fact, speaking of which, for more on Smile Direct Club IPO, let's go to Bertha Coombs at the NASDAQ. Hey, Bertha.
Hey, Carl. Yeah, it's going to be a very busy morning here with two big IPOs, both of them upsized, as Bob was mentioning. Smile Direct, of course, a direct-to-consumer teeth straightening aligners. Those Invisalign is their big competitor. And in fact, they have had a big impact on competitors. Again, it did price above the range. It's going to give it about a $9 billion valuation. But this has been a very competitive market because in addition to Smile Direct, you've also got Candid that also goes direct-to-consumer. And then, of course, Invisalign, which has its maker, Align Technologies, has suffered this year. It's down about 14% after having been a very big mover here on the NASDAQ. Some of the suppliers in the dental market, like Dentsply and Henry Schein, have done better because this is a very popular area. The other big IPO in healthcare here today, 10X Genomics. This is a gene sequencing company that makes a technology for gene sequencing, kind of in the Illumina space. Also priced above the range, it's going to have a better than $3.5 billion valuation. So we're going to have a very busy morning over here, guys. Back over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bertha. Today we are remembering the life of legendary oil tycoon T. Boone Pickens. He died yesterday at the age of 91. A lot's been said. Jim, you talked about him before the top of the hour. I personally was reminded of his decision to move his childhood home back to his ranch where he will be buried. He wrote about that online earlier this year, but what a life.
Oh, geez. This man led many lives. I remember hearing him in 1984 when I was at law school. He was a Raider. And there were people who felt that he represented the worst part of capitalism. By the end of his life, I think people felt that he represented capitalism with a human face. He wanted to put as many people to work, wanted to make it so that we were energy independent, had a high set of ideals. He never lost. One thing he had from the days I met him, he's one of the funniest CEOs. Just had a grand time. Whatever he did, he had a blast. And he led his life to the fullest. Gotta love
him. Yeah, very much so. And was in great physical condition, actually, very late into his 80s, as you can see even there. I mean, that's some time ago, but still.
That was 8 years ago.
And then led the charge on natural gas and sort of energy independence.
Remember, he had an ad campaign for it, but it turned out that he didn't need the government. American industry did it.
Right.
And I think that when we start doing 18 million barrels a day, which is what we're going to be doing in 5 years. Look at that man and remember that he believed. He and there was one other person who believed, Aubrey McClendon.
Not to mention the hundreds of millions of dollars he donated to Oklahoma education.
It reminds me of Ken Langone, who's done so much for Bucknell. There are people who go to a school and they just support their school in a way that makes it so that school becomes great. How fabulous is that?
T. Boone Pickens, long friend of our network, we're going to miss him, passing away at the age of 91. We'll be right back. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
All right, first member, Broadcom reports tonight. Very important quarter.
Broadcom tonight, got it.
PayPal, you'll see, is up big. Now, it's very interesting. PayPal has been down big for day. What was happening to PayPal? Absolutely nothing. It's all part of the rotation out of regular fintech into regular banks. PayPal being the best example, Visa including that. Now that everything is reversing, you can expect to see lots of the bank stocks go down, and that money could just keep bouncing around. Now fintech is back. Good to have you.
All right, Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
All right, I've got two of the hottest companies out there, one public, one private, CrowdStrike, which is in cybersecurity. A lot of people feel that competition has gotten very rife in that business. And then Michael Praisman, I think Everlane represents the future. It's non-landfill, it's sustainable, and he is a very bright and good man. A new store in Brooklyn opens today. It's gorgeous.
Clothing?
Yeah, clothing.
Okay,
Yes.
So Brooklyn has that and a new Chick-fil-A open today in
Chick-fil-A
Brooklyn.
Chick-fil-A closed Sundays. David, I just want to say that this is not from Everlane. But anytime you want a sublet, I'll let you have it.
I want 14.8% of it right now.
This is why Elizabeth Warren could be very right, because guys like me are walking. Are you kidding me?
I'll take Subway in that.
Blessed.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.